Blog Talk Radio.
From the Blog Talk Radio studio right here in the heart of Hudson County, ladies and gentlemen, it's always in Union City, New Jersey. Insider NJ proudly brings to you the three-time, and I do say again, the three-time award-winning Politically Direct, and I am New Jersey's premier journalist and top 100 Latino via the Latino Spirit online magazine, Fernando Uribe, and I hope you're all well, folks. Happy April, and certainly I hope you all had a wonderful April Fool's Day. Hopefully you got to play some safe and harmless pranks, as they say. And I got to freak out some people with posting very pro-Kamala Harris memes on my Instagram. I think I know I freaked out a good amount of people. And also, you know, celebrating Joe Biden, which we all know I will never do. And nor will I do that for the aforementioned as well. So, again, hope you all had a wonderful April Fool's Day. And again, we want to thank you for joining us here from wherever and however you may be listening, whether it be in Hudson County, whether it be throughout the Garden State, and of course, all my friends that listen in throughout the U.S. of A. Now, you can write to the show's inbox anytime, folks. It's politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Once again, you can write to the show's inbox, and it is politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Any suggestions for guests? Topics, what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show, whatever, write to me. I love getting emails. I answer them promptly. Once again, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Instagram, folks, at politicallydirectnj, and certainly my own Instagram, at Professor Fernando Uribe. Now, many of you enjoy my Instagram stories, especially, whether it's about pro wrestling, politics, inspirational memes, I don't know, politically incorrect humor, sports, whatever. You know, I know many of you enjoy it. And I see the views, and, you know, it's quite flattering that many of you look forward to my Instagram stories and do check it out there. Also, ladies and gentlemen, hit me up on Twitter, at NoFilterUribe. That's at NoFilterUribe. And for all you Facebook subscribers, unlike myself, that's still serving a 30-day suspension on the main page. But for those of you that are still active on Facebook and are not in Facebook jail, like yours truly, please go to the official page for Politically Direct. Like it, of course, and tell your friends to do the same. Now, I do want to hear from you tonight at some point, ladies and gentlemen, so call me toll-free, 818-572-8032. Once again, toll-free number tonight is 818-572-8032. And again, ladies and gentlemen, our toll-free number is brought to you by Insider NJ. Now, for all of you that are not aware, and I can't imagine how you can't be aware, but Folks, Insider NJ is New Jersey's number one source for journalism, and it has the best columns throughout the state of New Jersey, and nobody really covers the political scene in the state of New Jersey better than Insider NJ. Check out their website, www.insidernj.com. Once again, we have great columns. I'm not a fan of a lot of the politics of some of my colleagues at Insider NJ, certainly editor-in-chief Max Pizarro. Brilliant writer. Love reading what he has, you know, his columns per se. Don't really care for his politics, you know, and I know he doesn't care for mine, which is okay. You know, it's just good old-fashioned testosterone, you know, guys not liking each other. But we find a way to coexist. And without a doubt, obviously, there are other great columnists. Here at Insider NJ, we certainly have Jay Lasseter, who I don't care for whatsoever, personally. I know he feels the same, but I'll give him credit where it's due. He's an amazing writer, and his columns are very interesting and thought-provoking. So, you know, again, I do check them out whenever they're published. Also, Fred Snowflack, brilliant writer. Love to hear what he writes every week. Even Alan Steinberg, who's a regular now on the podcast every month. It kind of drives me crazy, you know, with some of his really, like, left views. But we find some common ground. We have some great episodes, and certainly his columns are very informative. A little infuriating, but informative to say the least. But folks, again, I can't say enough about the Graham family and my boss at Insider NJ, Pete O'Nelia. Certainly, I appreciate their support since the podcast started on insidernj.com/podcast in January of 2018. Without a doubt, folks, you know, again, it's a testament to their patience and their support of me because I know I've given them some headaches. You know, it's that simple. I've given them some headaches and, you know, without a doubt, they stuck with me throughout these years, and you know, 3 years later and 3 awards later, hey, Politically Direct is still making noise in the state of New Jersey via Insider NJ. Folks, again, when you check out the website, upper right hand corner, you'll see the subscribe button. Do me a favor, click on it, and you'll be automatically enrolled in the morning intelligence briefing. And whether you're checking your email from any device, whether you're watching cable news shows or sports shows, like I am, I'm a big Fox, you know, I'm a big FS1 fan, so I'm either watching Undisputed with Skip and Shannon, or I'm watching The Herd with Colin Cowherd. I'm scrolling through my inbox, as I'm sure many of you are, right? Well, as I'm teaching remotely and I'm going through my inbox, I'll see the morning intelligence briefing waiting right there for me. And again, it's great journalism. It's great columns. And if you're not subscribed, folks, it's free. I certainly hope you do that when you click the subscribe button at www.insidernj.com. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and, of course, follow them on Twitter. Remember, folks, to start and end your day with Insider NJ. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, the opinions and views expressed here tonight and every week on Politically Direct are mine and mine alone. They do not represent those of Insider NJ, the management, the journalists, the staff, or our sponsors. Folks, again, happy April to you all. We got a great guest coming up in just a few moments. I haven't talked to this guy in a while, and he's someone who I respect very much. Likes to be what I argue is probably as good a provocateur in the state of New Jersey as there is, and you'll definitely enjoy hearing from him in just a few moments. Again, folks, if you haven't checked out recent episodes of Politically Direct, don't sweat it. You can always go to www.insidernj.com/podcast. And again, without a doubt, I am, you know, just grateful to my loyal listening audience. And certainly those of you that tune in every Thursday here on insidernj.com/podcast. Also, my other media programs, whether it's Talking to Hudson on Wednesday nights, the perennial podcast in Hudson County, covering Hudson County politics, and more. Again, you can always check it out at www.blogtalkradio.com/talkingtohudson. And, of course, my other media programs, which include Talking Politics, my studio show with the Hudson Media Group, examining Hudson County politics. But here's the big one. On Monday nights, live at 7 p.m., it's Real Talk with Fernandy Uribe via Eisen and Jay. Folks, check that out when you can, www.eisenandjay.org/real-talk. Recent guests include, well, I've included this week, for example, Attila's Gym owner, Ian Smith. I'm sure you all know who he is, down in South Jersey. He was just at CPAC recently. He's been on Tucker Carlson. He's been on Sean Hannity. Even, you know, on CNN with Chris Cuomo, him and partner Frank Trombetti. Have been really at the forefront of challenging Governor Murphy on a lot of what COVID-19 decisions he's made, the executive orders, and without a doubt, he's been a very interesting guest. He's been on multiple times, as well as other guests on the show, folks, legislators, which include State Senator Michael Testa, State Senator Anthony Lucco, State Senator Joe Panaccio, State Senator Troy Singleton, and many more. Again, folks, check out the episodes. It's developed quite a following online, to say the least, and the traffic's been strong since we started in June 1st of last year. So if you haven't done that, do check it out. And folks, you know, really, it got me thinking here as we are, again, it's April 1st, and within a few months, obviously, we're going to make a decision to, you know, elect either the incumbent governor for another term or to give what I would argue probably is the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party, Jack Chiarelli. For all intents and purposes, it looks very likely he'll be winning the primary coming up in June, and he'll be the opponent for Phil Murphy coming up later this fall. Obviously, again, my guest coming up in just a few moments. I know we'll have a lot to say about that. And, you know, folks, you know, for those of you that have checked out my media programs and have also, you know, checked out my other biweekly show that I do with former State Assemblywoman Maria Rodriguez Gregg, we were just talking off the air today, and certainly we saw a poll that the governor right now has high approval ratings, again, in the first poll during this election year. And, you know, I think for a lot of New Jerseyans that come as a surprise, I think there are still pockets of the state that are not happy with Governor Murphy concerning COVID and how he's handled it, you know, a year plus into this. And I'm not always a fan of polls. You know, I'm always leery about them. I'm always concerned about them. And I don't like to, be confident about what those numbers say. But, again, listen, Governor Murphy's looking pretty tough right now. And, you know, it's, you know, Jack Chiarelli's got a long road ahead of him. It's that simple. And I think that, you know, when we think about what Jack Chiarelli has, again, a daunting task, to say the least, folks. There's so many months left. Again, I don't look at polls like the one I see today via NJ.com. We all know how biased NJ.com is, so we really can't take him seriously. But right now the governor is looking pretty good in approval ratings. But you know what? That can be deceiving. And here to help me break it down tonight, he is the publisher of Save Jersey. And folks, if you're not familiar with Save Jersey, it is New Jersey's number one source of conservative news, commentary, humor, and analysis. He's been going at this for more than a decade. He's an accomplished attorney, and he's a guy who, you know, I got to tell you, I really have respected throughout all of our years that we've worked together, whether it be in political circles or even media circles. Folks, the great Matt Rooney joins me here tonight on Politically Direct. What's going on, counselor?
There is no way that I could possibly live up to that introduction, but I'm grateful all the same for it, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Matt, thank you so much for coming on. I know you're really, really busy. First and foremost, again, congrats. I think the last time I spoke with you on the program, you were just getting married. I see you have a beautiful child. Congratulations, bro. How is everybody?
Thank you. Yeah, I moved quickly. When you find the right woman, there's no use letting grass grow under your feet. I really lucked out in that department. And now we have a beautiful little guy who's 18 months old this month.
God bless him.
And
God
he's
bless.
A toddler. He's running around, ripping stuff off walls, saying crazy stuff. There's some words in there, but a lot of it's nonsense. But I'm loving every single minute of it. Here's the way I put it. I've never been more tired, but I've also never been happier.
Matt, that's well said. So, again, congratulations to you. I'm glad you and your family are staying safe through COVID. You know, Matt, I don't want to make light of COVID. Obviously, it's a serious pandemic. We know many people in New Jersey that have passed due to it. And, again, I'm not trying to sound like a smartass on the air, but I think after recent years as a Cowboy fan visiting Philadelphia, going to Lincoln Financial Field, sitting in that venue, and then leaving Philadelphia, I think that I've developed sort of a Wolverine immunity. So I'm not really worried about COVID. If I can survive being at the link, I think I'm pretty – I think COVID's the least of my worries, Matt. So,
In Philadelphia, Eagles fans throw snowballs at Santa Claus. So if you can make it out of a Philadelphia sports event in one piece, unless you're wearing the green, you're doing all right, and I think you can probably stand up to COVID or just about any other virus. But look,
absolutely.
I mean, it's all
absolutely
nice and good that you don't want to make light of COVID, but I'm not sure – how seriously the Murphy administration takes it.
Yes.
Case in point. The other day, they just unilaterally deleted how many cases the other night? with minimal explanation offered. I think nearly 2,000. 1,895, that's the number. So,
yeah, that's,
you know,
that's,
I mean,
that's a really scary – that's a scary precedent there, Matt. And
very scary.
Yeah, and let's get to Governor Murphy real quick. I started the program today talking about, I believe, today's first poll during this election cycle. And I'm very leery about polls. I don't like to take them seriously. But case in point, obviously, NJ.com, which we all have to take with a grain of salt, indicates that according to a Stockton University poll, nearly 6 in 10 New Jerseyans are approving of the job he's doing in office. Right now, his approval rating stands at 58%, with 36% disapproving, according to the poll. It was Murphy's highest rating ever in the Stockton poll. And once again, it was the first poll on his job performance going into an election year. Matt, I think we all know that history's not on the governor's side. You know, you have to go back as far as Brendan Byrne, and that's before our time, when a Democrat governor was able to win re-election. But, you know, seeing these numbers and seeing that there are pockets of the state that still are very supportive of Governor Murphy, you know, it sounds like he's not, you know, invincible, but it's looking like a second term could be likely unless Jack Chitarelli kind of really, really steps it up here. Is that fair to say?
It's not just a talking point anymore. I gave up on polls officially after 2020. 2016 began to erode my faith in them as a reliable instrument for predicting election results. And then 2020 was just the end of it because of something that I think you talk about, Fernando, from time to time, and you've been in the academic world. Academia is not a place in 2021 where there is an honest exploration for truth underway. Most of these people are hacks. They're mm-hmm. far-left activists. And look, you want to be a far-left activist, God bless you. I'm a conservative activist in some ways. But here's the difference. When you go to Save Jersey, it says right at the top of the page, New Jersey's number one source of conservative news. I'm putting my cards on the table. I'm telling you what I'm all about. These pollsters,
yeah.
And I think Patrick Murray at Monmouth is one of the worst, they do not even attempt to hide the fact that they're in it to try to portray Republicans and conservatives in a bad light. Stockton's poll in particular is just absolute trash. They should stock it in restaurant bathrooms for baby changing stations in case you need some extra TP when you're changing your kid's diaper. I mean, this is the same poll that when Mike Testa was running in 2019, I think they mm-hmm. said he was going to lose by 14 points. He ended up winning by 7. Ignore the polls.
I agree with you. Matt, I agree with you, and I think that – but, you know, again, one of the things I try to do, not just only on this program, but my other programs, if you've had the chance to listen and or watch them, is I think I just try to be a commonsensical conservative guy. Some people have called me, like, the Hispanic Matt Rooney in North Jersey, and I was like, okay, I'm not insulted by that. Some people said, well, you shouldn't take it as a flattering comment either. Which I found to be a little bit odd, Matt. It sounds like that he
is that is that because of your views or because they don't think I'm good looking?
Well, I would argue that
or maybe
you and I are two. Well, I think you and I are two very handsome men, but I think that you know what we try to do, Matt. Along different lines, I think, but collectively, I think what we try to do, I think, is be objective. I mean, we have our views. I mean, you just mentioned right now when you go to SaveJersey.com. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. I mean, you are the main source of conservative news. But I think what you also try to do, though, Matt, in fairness, in your defense, because I come to your defense a lot when people kind of say this to me and they're like, well, Fernando, that's not really flattering. I'm like, well, you know, in fairness to Matt, I think, Matt, as you mentioned, you put your cards on the table. But I think you also try to be objective. And I think I try to do that, too, not just on this show. Hey, listen, I work for Insider NJ, okay? Believe me, I'm overwhelmed by leftists. Okay, I say it all the time on my broadcast. I'm like, I'm happy to be a part of the Insider NJ family, but I'm surrounded by people that don't like me, and vice versa, I don't like them. So it's a challenge, to say the least, I think, for people like you and I, that I think we're just trying to be objective here and just open people's eyes, but we're met with vitriol, and I think that's a really frustrating part about what we're doing, Matt.
Well, at the end of the day, and look, back to your original question about Jack Chitarelli, because it all ties in. New Jersey mm-hmm. now has a nearly 1.1 million person Democrat registration advantage, Democrats over Republicans. Mm-hmm. If you go back to when Chris Christie ran in 2009, it was smaller. It was around 700,000, and there were more unaffiliated, about 700,000 more unaffiliated than there were Democrats. It's not the Republican Party that has become more intolerant, more extreme, more unwilling to have a conversation. It's the Democrats, and you can see that in how there's a lot of unaffiliateds dropping off in New Jersey, and Democrats actually have improved their registration advantage. It's not because Democrats are winning a war of ideas. It's because the left is becoming far more ideological, far more aggressive and militant beliefs. It's an appropriate conversation as we are in the midst of Passover and coming up on Easter. It's become a secular religion for them. And what's the problem when your political beliefs become religious dogma? You can't have a reasonable conversation. I'm a Catholic. You can't prove or disprove the Immaculate Conception for me. When the left looks at something in 2021, and I'm sure Phil Murphy falls in this category, they look at something like climate change as dogma. For them, it's no different than the Immaculate Conception. Of course we can come up with a reasonable energy policy which serves multiple purposes, primarily keeping America on top of its game, but also making sure we're good stewards of this world God gave us. But goodness gracious, if you believe the world ending in 10 years as a matter of faith, we can't have a conversation. So that's where we're at right now. So the next time someone says that, you know, you're North Jersey Matt Rudy or whatever the hell they want to call you in a lame attempt to be disparaging, ask them why. Say, is it because you want to have a conversation? Because that's all I want to do on a daily basis. And I have many honest leftist friends who, even though we disagree on tax policy or abortion or foreign policy or any number of issues, I recognize that their disagreements are in good faith, but that's what's slipping away. Guys like Phil Murphy and his underlings don't disagree in good faith. You can't have a conversation with someone like that.
No, I agree, Matt. And I think that, again, a willing accomplice in this sort of tribalism I think that we're living in, I think, is the media in New Jersey. Case in point, I mean, I've been going after Tom Moran on my opening monologues on Real Talk on Monday nights for some time now. And, you know, Tom has made it very easy for me. And believe it or not, you know, I've had my insider boss get a couple of phone calls from Tom Moran saying, hey, listen, you know, this guy who, you know, works for Insider, obviously, in addition to what he does with other programs, I mean, this guy's just bombastic and vicious. And Matt, I'm none of those things. I mean, I'll admit I'm bombastic. I think there's a little WWE in me because I like to cut promos and I like to be a little, you know, inflammatory. But it's not vicious or it's not, I think, defamatory in any way. But I think, you know, we're losing that ability to have a conversation with the other side where, you know, if you just don't agree, I mean, there comes the venom, there comes the vitriol. And I'll be honest with you, I don't mind punching back. I can take a punch. I don't mind punching back twice as hard because I think you have to do that, especially in New Jersey where the liberal media, whether it's the Star Ledger, whether it's NJ.com, I mean, they're almost one and the same. And these polls you mentioned, it seems like even moderate, middle-of-the-road people, I think, are being overwhelmed by, I think, how dishonest the media is by not calling out the left in Trenton. I mean, that's how I look at it, Matt. What say you?
Well, that's exactly right. What they've done inadvertently is they've completely undercut their own credibility with the masses. 30 years ago, if you got endorsed by the Star Ledger, that was an accomplishment for a candidate. Today, pretty much half the population, if not more, automatically discount that endorsement as, well, of course, a liberal paper is going to endorse a liberal candidate. But this ties into what we were talking about a minute ago, Fernando. You know, these businesses in the media, newspapers, television stations, but particularly these publications, they are businesses, and they've changed their business model. 50 years ago, the goal was to be to throw balls over the plate, not be controversial, sometimes have provocative stories, but not take a political point of view and not scare off advertisers or readers as a result. You wanted to cast as wide a net as possible. That's not the case anymore. Newspapers like the New York Times and NJ.com, by keeping Idiots like Salant and our favorite guy who's head of the editorial board at Star Ledger, Tom Moran, by keeping them there, they're actually kind of setting them up as almost kind of like secular leftist priests who preach a venom and a liberal dogma that liberal readers want to come back and hear every Sunday from the itisnj.com. That's what you're going there for. You're not going there for news. You're not going there for robust debate. They're not interested in robust debate. You just told a personal story about how Tom Moran may not be interested in robust debate. Look what they did in the NJ7 race with Tom Kane. Tom Moran did not use his platform to hold a sitting congressman's feet to the fire at a time when Congress is about as dysfunctional as you could ever imagine it would be. And that's saying something given its long history of dysfunction. He spent months just picking on Tom Kane at one point for something a super PAC was saying. It wasn't even something Tom Kane was saying. So, I mean, they've chosen their path. Their path is no longer the path of enlightenment, of an honest pursuit of the truth. Their path is to create an echo chamber where other people that think like they do come and click on their crappy articles. Thank God for the democratization of information, where now you have podcasts like yours, even at a liberal outlet like Insider NJ. You have websites like Save Jersey. You've got a lot of other folks out there doing great stuff. People now have a choice. It's no longer only one place in town where you can go out and you can dine. You now have multiple dining options if you want to go out there and gorge yourself on news and commentary. So that's why it's important for us when guys like Tom Moran try to squash you to stand up for yourself and to look at it as exactly what it should be. It's a compliment. It's showing that they recognize that you're a threat and you're disrupting the narrative and you need to keep on going.
Well, listen, you're absolutely right about that. And I do appreciate the kind words there, Matt. And folks, if you're just joining us right now, it's 9:25. On the East Coast here on Blog Talk Radio. Joining me here tonight exclusively is the publisher of Save Jersey, the great Matt Rooney here tonight on Politically Direct. Matt, looking at, not so much at the poll, but looking really at the issues here in this election cycle, and certainly the governor, obviously is going to face some criticism about nursing homes as well as sort of the dysfunction that's still ongoing with the state's unemployment system, the operation of the NBC, the way that small businesses have been crippled in this year plus of COVID-19 and his executive orders. Some people might say the governor saw some favorables, but let's be realistic. The governor still has a lot of unfavorables as well. Give me a list here of, if we're being objective, where has the governor gone wrong in this year of COVID?
How much time do we have? for starters, he's directly responsible for the deaths of at least 8,000 nursing home residents. And I say at least because if there's something we've learned throughout the course of this pandemic, it's that blue state governors were given a great deal of leeway by the media to lie and make up statistics or at least present their data in a way that'd be more favorable to support their lockdown strategies. And I think ultimately that's the number one error that Phil Murphy made in every respect, the lockdown. You made a point earlier that I think is very important to make. We're always willing to be reasonable, right? I didn't decide at the beginning of this pandemic what I thought the right response was, and everybody that disagreed with my initial knee-jerk reaction is therefore an evil, awful liberal. No, I, like everyone else in the beginning, was very concerned because we didn't know what this stuff was back in March. They weren't sure how long it lived on surfaces. Is it aerosol? Is it droplet? How does it spread? But very quickly it became clear, and I would say by the end of March it was brutally clear what this virus was. It was something that would severely impact older people, particularly older people with comorbidities. If you're overweight, you have diabetes, you're 70 years old, you are a prime potential victim of the COVID-19 virus. What did Phil Murphy do? He took this information at a time when, if you want to look at it this way, we actually, COVID was even scarier than we do now because there was so much uncertainty about it. And Phil Murphy's administration made a decision to pack all of these elderly people with comorbidities in nursing homes, despite the fact we've since learned that they were warned by nursing home administrators. Listen, this is not safe. There's no way we can safely segregate people who have this illness and people who don't have this illness and the staff that cares for them. Remember, there was a memorandum that went out, right, that said that these nursing homes could not screen for COVID-positive patients. So he made that decision, and then he also locked down our economy. And when you lock down our economy, when you make people stay at home, when they're not allowed to go out and they're not allowed to get fresh air and spread out a little bit, what happens? They're indoors, they're breathing on each other. You allow the virus to incubate right in people's living rooms. Cuomo did the same thing up in New York, closed the colleges, sent all the college kids home. They probably gave it to their grandparents and parents. So what are we now finding? States like New Jersey and New York have the absolute worst death rates. If New Jersey was a country, Fernando, it'd be the deadliest country on earth. And right now, yes, our cases have been plateauing. Meanwhile, Texas, complete opposite direction, despite the fact that they got rid of their mask mandate. So, look, I'm not here, as you, I'm sure, would agree. I'm not saying it's a hoax. I'm not saying you should go burn your mask or any of that stuff.
Of course,
I mean, take this thing seriously, but don't lose your head and look at the data. There's no reason for New Jersey to be going the way it's going and Texas to be going the way it's going if this was simply a matter of putting on your mask. What happened is the lockdowns killed people. It made this virus worse, and it also killed. It also created all sorts of developmental and educational problems for the children of this state. The problems are many, and you mentioned some of them, but that was the original sin here. That was the original mistake. It's one Phil Murphy can't roll back, and now that we have more information about how those decisions were made, he shouldn't be allowed to run away from it. He killed people.
Well, that's, again, that's an accusation that's been going around for some time, Matt. And listen, I'm with you. And, I mean, you look across the river where I live up here in Hudson County, I look in New York City every day, I think about how egregious and the blood on the hands of Andrew Cuomo, notwithstanding all the other things going around concerning Andrew Cuomo. But it seems that, you know,
and it,
the
well,
governor
and it took
here,
us finding out he was a pervert for the media to care.
Exactly.
I mean,
and
how crazy is that?
No, absolutely. And I think one of the scarier aspects, Matt, you brought up too, was the fact that, again, the governor isn't being challenged. And I was just talking about this, I think, this week when I interviewed Ian Smith, the owner of the Attilus Gym down in South Jersey, where, and listen, I think we've learned, I think you're a student of history, Matt, as am I. I teach history, so I mean, obviously it's something that I have an affinity for. But, you know, both parties, I think, can be guilty of this. I think we can, it's fair to say that during the 8 years of Chris Christie, many times there, you know, there were instances I disagree with them, and I think maybe there were times Republicans didn't stand up to Chris Christie. It seems like now Democrats are guilty of the exact same thing. They're not challenging the governor. They're not taking him to task. I mean, yeah, you have some state senators like Vin Gopal down the Jersey Shore that are somewhat critical of the governor, but they're not going to go out of their way to really, you know, vilify him whatsoever. So again, I think both parties are guilty of this. But what's worse, though,
can I add one bit of nuance there? And
sure,
I'm not saying
sure.
This is a point of disagreement. I just think it needs
sure.
to be highlighted. When
sure.
Phil, when Chris Christie was wrong, and he certainly was wrong sometimes,
mm-hmm.
the issues he were wrong about affected our pocketbooks, like with the gas tax
yes.
increase that ended
yes.
up being a disaster, a terrible thing. I totally disagree with that gas tax increase. But
yes.
it's not something that killed people. Phil
yes,
Murray,
agreed. Great.
Killed people. Thousands of people with his policies continue to stand by. Craig Coughlin, Steve Sweeney, some of the biggest cowards on the planet. They've proven that throughout this pandemic by repeatedly allowing motions to be tabled, attempts to rein in this guy's powers. I mean, they
that,
also have responsibility for these deaths. And that's – I hear what you're saying. There's plenty of Republicans, and you know you and I have been consistent
yeah.
about that. Now, regardless of who's in power, you should call them out. But this is a life – in death situation that we haven't seen in our
yes.
lifetime. And the New Jersey Democrat Party has been found wanting. They all have blood on their hands. And I hope voters
no.
remember in November.
No, absolutely. And listen, I think what makes matters worse is, you know, you're seeing people like State Senate President Steve Sweeney talking about publicly, well, I think we should maybe kind of rein in the governor's executive powers. And then when a vote comes to the floor, it gets tabled. I'm like, wait a minute, what the hell is the State Senate and State Assembly doing? You know, either you have a spine or you don't. You can't say you want to rein in the governor's executive powers And then when it comes time for a vote, Jesus Christ, like, you do nothing about this. So it's almost like you're being
complicit. Well, and this is where the media comes in, right? Because if the roles were reversed and this was Chris Christie, Rachel Maddow would be camped out on the State House lawn. You know, CNN would be there screaming at the top of their lungs, Chris Christie's killing grandma. It would not stop. But because it's a Democrat and he lines up on the same side of the field that they do ideologically, it's barely a mention. Sweeney gets a pass. Coughlin gets a pass. Again, because this is a religion for these people now, and the most important thing is to win the election so that they can continue perpetrating their worldview. If grandma dies in the interim, if your family's pizza parlor that's been around for 2-3 generations goes under, if your kid now needs therapy because they haven't seen another child their age for months, what the hell difference does that make to Phil Murphy? He gets to go home to his mansion every night in Monmouth County.
You know, that's a fair point, Matt. And, you know, let's talk more about exactly, since it is an election year, I mean, we'll get to some legislative races a little bit later. But, you know, again, the governor, you know, history's not on his side. But, you know, a biweekly show that I do with former Assemblywoman Maria Rodriguez Gregg, you know, we've been ultra critical of the NJGOP, not because we're trying to audition to be operatives, not because we're trying to be punitive, but the facts are, though, Matt, and, you know, again, this is not a shot against Jack Chirilli per se. I know Jack personally. I'm sure you do. I've had a chance to meet with him. I've had a chance to have him on this show, my other show, Real Talk, the Eisen and Jay. I just think that the NJGOP is setting up Jack to fail. It's April 1st, Matt, and it just seems like Jack, vis-a-vis the NJGOP, they're not doing a good enough job in terms of outreach. And listen, I am the last person to ever preach about identity politics. I hate it. I denounce it whenever. But it's something that, unfortunately, might be painfully necessary for Jack to reach out to Hispanic, Black business owners, whatever demographic, to just sort of remind them, look what's happened under Democratic rule in New Jersey, not just for the last 20 years in the legislature, but look at the last 4 years. Look at what's happened. And it just seems like the NJGOP is just happy treading water. Matt, hello, for our audience, it's April 1st. It's not April 1st, 2020. It's April 1st, 2021. Before you know it, primary day's here, November's here, and it just seems like there's no sense of urgency, Matt. And case in point, 2009, you know, Chris Christie was facing a horrendous governor in John Corzine. I mean, horrendous. He still struggled to beat Corzine. I think it was like 5 points. I mean, that's struggle, but it's still a 5-point win is a 5-point win. But John Corzine was infinitely incompetent. Some people might look and say, well, Phil Murphy may not be as bad as Corzine, but Jack Chirilli isn't Chris Christie. He's not that personality to kind of stick up it, you know, and stand up to Murphy the way that, you know, that Christie did to Corzine. I just think the NJGOP is setting up Jack to fail. That's my opinion. I've been talking about it on my show, and I've gotten some vilification, but I've got a lot of people calling me and DMing me saying, you know, Fernando, God bless you, bro. You're right. I'm glad you're saying this publicly. Matt, how do you see this?
Well, I think you just touched on a bunch of different things that feed into each other. But so when we talk about the NJGOP, I think what we're really talking about is we're talking about the establishment, right? We're talking about the Republicans who, you know, I'm 36. For as long as I've been politically conscious, many of them have been in the game. They may have changed positions, but most of them have still been around. And as a result, they've not only had a front seat on the bus setting policy for the NJGOP when there actually is a clear policy direction, but they've also crafted our messaging or lack thereof. So I think it's fair to say that to a large degree, if Jack Chirilli's the nominee, and it's looking like he's going to be the nominee, he's the presumptive out in front guy here, he's inheriting a party that is in many ways an empty husk. You know, what does it mean to be a Republican in New Jersey? You're going to get six different answers if you ask six different legislators. John Brandick, for instance, who's the Assembly Minority Leader. He's the top Republican in the Assembly. Recently, he delivered a response to one of Murphy's addresses and opened up by talking about how important it is that we all get along and that he's actually friends with Murphy and, you know, they've been to each other's houses. You know, think about that for a second. I'm not suggesting that you should treat everybody you disagree with politically as an enemy. I mean, we're all Americans. That's a ridiculous concept, and it's also a little bit exhausting if you treat everybody who disagrees with an enemy. But we're talking about a guy here that, for all of his vices, and he has many, killed at least 8,000 people. And you expect to get New Jerseyans to rally to your side by bragging about how you've been to each other's houses? This is the problem, and this is the party that Jack Cittarelli is inheriting. So, look, they're like any other human being on the planet. There are things that Jack Cittarelli has said over the years that I don't 100% agree with. There are things that he's been saying recently that I've been fist-pumping and saying, all right, right on. This is what we've needed to hear. But, look, ultimately, if you want to change the directory of the NJGOP, the trajectory of the NJGOP, if you want to change this party, the cake is baked this year. Jack Cittarelli is going to be the candidate that Jack Cittarelli is, just like Matt Rooney and Fernando Uribe are the commentators that they are. What you need to do is you need to get your ass off the couch and get involved. Stop complaining. I want you to keep reading Save Jersey and commenting, but don't limit it to that. Get involved with your county committee. Most of these county committees have empty seats, and those county committees are the organizations that pick the candidates. Maybe consider running for office locally, or at least get involved with a local campaign. It has to be participatory. What we've seen is participation truncate in recent years, and what's left behind are people that we don't really want setting the messaging for us. So, you know, I'm going to reserve judgment on Jack because I've liked a lot what he's saying at this point. But, certainly Save Jersey is going to do what it always does. And when he's saying the right things, we're going to cheer him. And when he's not saying the right stuff, he needs to point it out. I think the biggest mistake he could make, and any Republican could make this year, is following John Brandnick's model, which is trying to convince people how reasonable and lovely we are. And how, you know, oh, we're nice people, don't hate us, but, you know, if you put us in charge, we're going to tax you a little less than the other guy. No, you have to understand that we are dealing with people that care more about green economics than they do about whether or not your grandfather, who survived Korea, survived Phil Murphy in his nursing home. You got to go at these people. You got to be aggressive. You have to call them out. You have to name names. That's how you're going to win back the suburbs in New Jersey. You're not going to win it back by trying to outclass people who are completely classless.
Well, Matt, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because one of the things I take pride in on this program and on my other podcast too is, you know, is fighting for policies that make sense. You know, I'm a policy nerd. It's one of the things I really took on as a concentration in grad school at Rutgers in Newark. And I'm all about just commonsensical fiscal policies. Case in point, you know, I get a lot of emails, and my producers do too, and my insider bosses too, where they just say, you know, Fernando's really punitive against Democrats and liberals. And, you know, I've come up with the names, the social justice clowns, the woke fools, the compassion mongers. I almost feel like I want to patent those because I use them so often to describe a lot of the left in New Jersey. And my answer to people is always the same. I said, you know what? You want to know why I'm so harsh on them and a lot of the left and many of the Democratic Party in Trenton? Because for 20 years, Matt, okay, Democrats have run the legislature. They've had majorities. Okay, right now we're looking at 25 to 50 in the state Senate, and we're looking at 52 to 38 in the state assembly. Okay, and now those numbers have fluctuated a little bit, but for the last 20 years, Democrats have run the legislature. Here's a civics lesson for our audience if they've forgotten, especially those on the left. It's the legislature that writes the budget. It's the ones that decide what to tax, how to spend, et cetera. So guess what? When Republicans and or vis-a-vis conservatives like me and you have any say in Trenton and win any sort of majority to influence policy, that's when I'll get on conservatives. But right now, I have to be harsh against liberals and progressives, well, more regressives, because there's nothing about progress in terms of what they're advocating for. I'll continue being harsh on them because they're the ones making policy, Matthew. And I'm sorry, guess what? When Republicans and conservatives can have that influence, I'll come down on them. But right now, they're in the minority. They're almost powerless in a sense of what goes on legislatively. So that's my answer to people. Hey, you want me to stop being harsh on Democrats? They should govern better.
Well, right, exactly. I mean, Democrats have been in charge of the legislature since I was a kid at this point, and I'm 36. So it's been a long, long, long time since Republicans had a meaningful voice in the state legislature. So, I mean, it's a ridiculous argument. And it's just more of the same of what we're talking about tonight. I mean, the idea that we have to punish ourselves or publicly shame ourselves every time the Democrats think that Republicans are wrong. I'm not under an obligation to apologize for my own ideas. Why would I? They're my ideas. I believe in them. You're a conservative journalist. You do journalism. You're also a conservative guy, and you're open about it. Why should you apologize for that? Again, the problem in our world right now is not that people have opinions, not that people have a bias or a worldview. The problem is we've got a media establishment that isn't honest about the agenda it is pushing. Allow consumers to know what they're buying. With all due respect to Insider NJ, and I mean, Max is a nice guy. I've interacted with him in the past. Nothing personal, but Insider NJ should probably disclose that it is a strongly Democrat website. It is. Its commentary is completely liberal except for you. Even the quote-unquote Republicans that write on Insider NJ, they haven't really been Republican in anything but name only in a long time. It'd be like if I had a conservative website, like our commentators were Bill Kristol and Mitt Romney, you know? Everybody deserves the opportunity to have a platform, but good God, I mean, just call it what it is and let people make an educated decision. But why are they afraid, the leftist media, why are they afraid to do that? Why are they afraid to say what they believe? That should tell you something, which makes them demanding that you create some kind of artificial equilibrium in your own commentary even more ridiculous. It's a bunch of nonsense. Don't let them cow you. Ultimately, the Democrats have been responsible for running this state right now for two decades. We had a brief interruption with Chris Christie before he decided to run for president, where he was starting to shake things up. But then, the same thing happened to him that happens to all men that get a whiff of power. He got his head turned, and he completely forgot what his original mission was. And he's paid for it dearly. I mean, the guy, he's got his ABC gig, but he's a joke in Republican circles. So, they have to own their record. They have to own their record, and Republicans should talk about it, and they have to have confidence and courage and pride in the fact that we have ideas and solutions which are different than what we've tried in New Jersey for two decades. Find me a place in New Jersey that is better off now than it was under Tom Kane Sr.
Fair enough, Matt.
Name one.
No, absolutely, Matt. And I think furthermore, too, and this is something that I've been harping on this program and my other programs as well, is, and again, no disrespect to many Republican legislators, because, for example, I've had State Senator Michael Testa on this program multiple times. I've had him on my Real Talk show multiple times. I've had Joe Panaccio, Anthony Bucco, Assemblyman Phillips, Assemblyman Rooney. I mean, those are guys that are loud, and you know, they make noise. But at the end of the day, it's just they're overwhelmed by, you know, because up here where I live in Hudson County, Matt, I mean, like, my state senator is also my mayor. He's sort of a moderate Democrat per se. He's sort of a center-left guy. He's not crazy. Like, he's not, you know, State Senator Ruiz, who's a crazy leftist, okay? He's not, for example, you know, Scutari, who's also a crazy leftist, in my opinion, or others. And I think those are the ones that are toxifying Trenton policies, Matt. Case in point, you know, I brought this up to an immigration activist, and I got vilified. I mean, Insider NJ got tons of emails, my boss did, my GM, for saying Fernando's a xenophobe, he's a bigot, he's a racist, because I dared to challenge the notion that in last year's budget, you know, the Democrats in Trenton decided to allocate $6.1 million to a legal fund to help illegals get legal representation.
How does that work? Are you the world's first ever Hispanic xenophobe?
Yeah, that's what I asked. That's what I asked my boss. I'm like, wait a minute. So I'm the son of immigrants. Yeah, it is. I'm like, I'm the son of two Hispanic immigrants. One left communism, you know, in the island of Cuba. One left a bad economy in Colombia. I come here. I'm first generation. But because I dare to challenge a bad fiscal policy, Matt, this is the thing. Democrats, I mean, Republicans have gotten it wrong too. But the bottom line is everyone talks about property tax relief. If you right now, the average property tax, I'm looking at my notes here, is $9,112. If you took that $6.1 million instead of taking it to a legal fund to help illegals and you just maybe shaved it off, you could help thousands of homeowners with some property tax relief. But it seems like Democrats and the governor are more interested in coddling illegals. That's a term that got me in trouble. Coddling illegals than helping citizens, homeowners, and taxpayers. But that gets me vitriol and gets me vilified. It's infuriating, Matt.
I love the fact that they get angry about the term illegals. I mean, what is it? Is it an arsonist or is it an undocumented fire starter? Right.
Yeah,
no one's
exactly
saying that someone that comes here for a better life is an evil, awful person that should be thrown in a ditch. We're simply stating the obvious. If you are here in a way that is against the law, then you are an illegal alien. You're someone who is not of here, who's here illegally. Again, you got to question an ideology that has a problem with the plain English language being applied to current events into reality. The fact that they can't accept that tells you everything you need to know about their insanity. And the fact that you're telling me you've got people accusing you of being a racist, given your heritage and your background. They don't even know what the hell these terms mean. They use them as weapons. They use them as cudgels to shut down honest debate. And it continues to happen every day in this country. I'll give you a great example. I am from New Jersey. I live in Camden County. I have Asian friends. They're some of my favorite people on the planet. We all do, right? They are a proud part of this country's tradition. But if you go and you look at recent statistics for violence in this country, there is not a sizable uptick across the country over the course of the past year in violence against Asian Americans. In one place, I think it was Chicago, we went from zero to one, and one newspaper reported it was like 100% increase or something like that. So once again, you're being manipulated. This has nothing to do with the left caring about Asian Americans. They want to try to turn another group, and it's one of our proudest, most hardworking groups of immigrants in this country, Asian Americans. They want to try to convince them to join their coalition as victims. And they want to use this to divide our country. And the left also wants to use this particular campaign to shut down criticism of China. We're all not infants. We know that you can criticize a country and its foreign policy without hating all people from that country. Because you say that China is an evil empire, like Russia was an evil empire, doesn't mean you hate Chinese people. That's ridiculous. Americans are more sophisticated than that. But we all know why they formulate things they do, because now in the future, when you criticize the Biden administration's trade policies, when you talk about immigration, they can label you a racist. It's a way to shut down debate. Are you noticing a common thread here, Fernando? I know your listeners and your readers are picking up on it. These people don't want to have an honest discussion.
No, absolutely they don't. They really, really don't. And again, when I'm – listen, and the reason I'm so harsh, especially on the left, is because, you know, growing up in a pretty conservative household, I mean, Hispanics, you know, when you're raised in Latin America or have heritage from Latin America, they tend to be pretty conservative households. Okay, I think I tend to be conservative on some issues. I don't ever like to use the word liberal or progressive on socials. I tend to be, I think, reasonable and rational. I don't think, you know, having some sense of humanity, I don't think has anything to do with the party. I think it's just being reasonable and rational. But I think within the Hispanic community, I mean, I think we're seeing the notion, Matt, that you should be able to criticize bad ideas, you know, and it doesn't make you a xenophobe or a racist or hateful.
No,
or,
you're
a bigot.
You're Hispanic and you must vote a certain way.
Yeah. No,
you must vote a certain way.
And
anybody who suggests that you shouldn't engage in groupthink because of the shade of your skin or where your parents come from, they're somehow the racist for suggesting that. No, my friend Fernando Uribe is an individual. He's a proud member of this society, and I shouldn't just assume he thinks a certain way, and I should make him feel like shit because he wants to espouse a view that may be different from how most people from his community have voted traditionally.
I'm with you. I know. It's a novel one. Folks, if you're just joining us right now, it's 9:50 here on the East Coast on Blog Talk Radio. Joining me here is the publisher and founder of City Jersey at cityjersey.com, the great Matt Roney here on Politically Direct. Matt, let me pick your brain a little bit here. Obviously, you're not just only receiving Governor Murphy's up for re-election, all 120 seats in the legislature up for grabs. I don't feel that Republicans can make any serious. Matt, I'm sorry about that. You still with me, Matt? I'm sorry. Hello, Matt?
I'm still with you.
Yeah.
I was just sitting here thinking, wow, I guess we finally touched too many third rails, triggered too many people, and they pulled the plug.
No, I'm sorry, Matt. Sometimes Blog Talk Radio sometimes Blog Talk Radio is a little quirky. My apologies to our audience. No, Matt, what I was going to say was, obviously, in addition to Governor Murphy, all 120 seats in the legislature are up for grabs this year. I think it's hard to make the case that Republicans can make some serious gains. Maybe they can, little by little, incrementally. But which legislative races do you find the most interesting right now during this cycle?
Well, and of course, part of the problem is we have a map right now that's very, very unfavorable to the Republican Party. And Democrats delayed legislative redistricting because census data was arriving late. So they took full advantage of that to keep this map that's favorable to them in place. Where are we looking this year? You know, once again, South Jersey, my neck of the woods, is going to figure very heavily into whether or not Republicans can gain a little momentum. You're going to want to watch the second legislative district in South Jersey, where we actually have a Republican state senator deciding to not run for reelection again, Chris Brown. Chris Brown's a moderate, represents a district that is, like most districts in New Jersey, leans blue, but it's actually had some extremely competitive races in recent years. It looks like Vince Polistena is going to be the Republican state Senate candidate, and ultimately he and his slate are going to try to defeat the Democrat challenger and the Democrats' two assembly nominees. It's a rare district where you've got a Republican state senator and two Democrats in the assembly.
Uh-huh.
So that's,
uh-huh.
I kind of think, on election night, be a very important bellwether for how Jack Cittarelli and Republicans are going to do statewide, because it's a lean Democrat district, but there's a lot of working-class voters who vote Republican at the local level. Atlantic City and its suburbs have been among the worst hit places in the country from COVID restrictions, horrible unemployment rates during the depths of the lockdowns. You would think that if there's going to be a backlash from unaffiliated Democrat voters against Phil Murphy, it's got to happen there. So that's what Vince Polistena and the slate need to do. They really need to capitalize on that anger and help voters channel it against Phil Murphy. LD8, on the other end of South Jersey, so now we're moving over to Burlington County.
Uh-huh.
We've got former sheriff Gene Stanfield, Republican in Burlington County, who is now an assemblywoman. She's going to challenge Dawn Adiego. And this one's interesting, Fernando, and I know you know this.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, Dawn, who I used to know very well and I lost a lot of respect for, she switched parties and joined the Democrat Party. And a lot of people felt quite betrayed by her switcheroo joining the South Jersey machine. She's got her hands full with Gene Stanfield because this tough talking, accomplished Republican woman in Gene Stanfield, who, given her position as a sheriff and given the position she's held, is uniquely situated to talk about some of the crises and some of the failures of the Murphy administration, particularly the allegations of rape in our state's only female prison. And she's actually leading the charge to impeach Commissioner Hicks, who Governor Murphy has refused to push to resign. So that's another place where Republicans, it's the flip of LD2. Republicans have the two assembly seats there. They don't have the state Senate seat. If Republicans are going to pick up seats on election night, it's probably going to come from two, but there's other places we could play too. I mean, 16 is a place to watch. I had candidates on Save Jersey's Wednesday Live last week. I encourage you to check it out. That's a place to keep an eye on. Of course, on the flip side of the ledger, Fernando, 21 and 25, these are districts that are held by Republican legislators. they're also in the part of the state, in these suburbs, that Republicans have had trouble retaining voters in recent years. There's practically no Republicans left in Union County at this point, besides a couple of Republicans in Westfield that are in the legislature. And Tom Kane's not running for re-election in LD21. So if Democrats are going to pick up seats, it's going to be in LD21. But to your point, I mean, I just mentioned five districts. Right, we can come up with a couple of others that have some interesting storylines. That's out of 40. How pathetic is it with a pandemic, a pension crisis, a general fiscal crisis, a governor who has given himself dictatorial powers and refuses to give them up? Now that it's even though it's been over a year, the list goes on and on and on. You can't go to the NBC. You can't get an unemployment check. We have practically no competitive races. That's not democracy. How are the people supposed to hold their leaders accountable when elections don't have consequences? It's disgraceful.
No, Matt, you're right about that. And it's interesting about elections not having consequences. And you know, certainly a topic, and I really wanted to pick your brain on this as well. It's been in the news cycle. It's come up a lot up here in North Jersey in Hudson County. We have an assemblyman that got, you know, the majority whip in the assembly got pushed out of the line. There's been a lot of talk, though, Matt, and because it's not just affected Democrats, but now it's affected Republicans, right, in Bergen County. And there's been a lot of discussion about abolishing the line. And this is a movement that a lot of progressives, right, you know, the left, the far left, that are unhappy with, you know, Democrats or establishment Democrats that have been trying to get rid of the line. We've heard these talking points, and now it's not only affected a Democrat in Hudson County, it's also affected a Republican now where she was thrown off the line. And, you know, it seems, Matt, and I really want to pick your brain about this, again, as an attorney, is there any validity or do you know, these progressive organizations that are fighting tooth and nail, you know, to go to court to eventually abolish the line, do they have any legal grounds to stand on, or is this just sort of grandstanding for the sake of progressives, you know, trying to portray themselves as, you know, the defenders of democracy when maybe they're not?
Well, I'll take it a step further. Is it a self-defeating quest that they're on? Let's look at the Republican side of the aisle for a second. You've got two female assembly members, particular cycle on the Republican side of the aisle, that have not gotten renominated by their home county's Republican committee, Serena DeMasso in Monmouth County, and most recently Betty Lou DeCroach up in Morris County. These are incumbent assembly members. So, you know, I mean, and I think it's particularly pronounced, Fernando, in Morris County, because this is the first cycle that Morris County is doing it this way. They didn't have a line before. So the county committee for LD26 up there got together, and they dumped one of their incumbents for the line. So, you know, you didn't have that very recently before there was a line. So is there an argument that maybe it isn't really a question of whether there's a line, but how the line is awarded? I think that's the discussion we need to have. You know, just because you have a line doesn't mean that it's a bunch of fat cat politicians in a back room smoking cigars, drinking whiskey, and just making a decision in the shadows. You know, when you get county committee people together, who most county committee people are relatively normal people, if you know them in your regular life. You know, they're not all rich fat cats. They're teachers, they're doctors, they're lawyers, they're janitors, they're school bus drivers, they're everybody. When they're allowed to make the decision in the open, sometimes they're going to push back, and sometimes someone who wants to break in is going to have an opportunity if they can prove themselves. So that's what I would say. I would say that maybe some of these groups need to rethink their strategy and maybe redirect their efforts towards democratizing how lines are awarded instead of destroying lines. Allow people and encourage people to get involved in their county committees. As I mentioned before, at least on the Republican side where I can speak more fluently, you'd be surprised even in Republican counties how many county committee seats are open. Get involved, make those lines more consequential. It would encourage participation in the parties, and you might even end up getting better candidates in more competitive races.
Matt, I agree with you. And speaking about more competitive races, you know, it might be a question that you may not want to answer, but you have a lot on your plate. You know, Save Jersey has been going strong for 10-plus years. You have been a prominent force in conservative politics in New Jersey, Matt, for many, many years now. Again, you know, you're happily married, brand-new baby boy. Question is, why isn't Matt Rooney running for office in New Jersey?
You first. You jump in the pool first, and I'll be right behind you.
I mean,
here's the thing. and at the risk of, I don't want to sound self-important here because that's not my intention at all. I over the past nearly 13 years now, we started Save Jersey in May 2008. That's when the first post went up. I have had the honor and the privilege of helping build an online platform for people that think like us from all different backgrounds, okay? Because we all know conservatives aren't monolithic. They look like all different kinds of people. They think like all different kinds of people. We're united by a common set of ideas and values. We've helped give them a platform in New Jersey where we didn't have one before. And we're at the point now where these people that are running for office and many members of the media, they have no choice but to respond to us when we call them out on their nonsense. We need that. It's a very important part of what I believe the long-term solution is. So, you know, that's where I think not just my passions lie, but that's what I think is important to continue to cultivate, because as dramatic as Save Jersey's reach has become since you and I first got to know each other, Fernando, we still have a ways to go. You know, there's still more people that need to know about us, that need to read us, that need to hear from the candidates and the experts that we highlight on in our posts and in our weekly Facebook Live events. That's where I want to direct my energy. There are plenty of good people out there to run for office. What I want to do is I want to continue to give them not just some inspiration, but also some cause to run for office, to highlight for them ways they can get involved and issues that they can tackle. And the highlight of my existence as a Save Jersey editor-in-chief is when I occasionally, less so recently, unfortunately, because of this damn pandemic, so you get to see less people in person, but I'd occasionally speak at an event and someone would come up to me and say they started reading the site 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and they subsequently decided to get involved and run for school board, and they got elected. And now they're in the game. Now they're involved. Now they're making a difference. I personally think that I can do more good, Fernando, continuing to be a part of that, than I could as, like, you know, Councilman Rooney, Mayor Rooney, Assemblyman Rooney.
Yeah.
You know, never say never. Maybe in 20 years I'll get bored and I'll want a new challenge. But I don't see that in my future anytime soon.
Same here. Same here, Matt. I feel that I can exert some sort of influence in terms of my media brand and what I'm trying to do up here in North Jersey and be, you know, in the radar. I mean, someone that I know who's a friend of mine that works in the governor's office, apparently the term the Hispanic Tucker Carlson is how I've been referred to in the governor's office. I don't know. That's a lot better, by the way,
than the Hispanic Matt Rooney.
Well, yeah. Well,
being the Hispanic Tucker is definitely an upgrade.
I wouldn't say that. Matt, you know, has your wife sat you down and at any point maybe said, you know, honey, I know you really go after the governor. Please be careful. At some point, maybe the governor's office is just going to find a way to put you in his crosshairs, and maybe there's a receipt coming with, I don't know, whatever. You know how New Jersey politics is. Has she ever sent you down and just said that to you, you know, as a loving and supportive wife, like, hey, you know, be careful pissing off Murphy, because it seems like, you know, especially in South Jersey with Norcross and Sweeney, you know, just be careful, honey. You know, you might ruffle the wrong feathers. Has that conversation ever come up?
Never. The only conversations my wife and I have ever had about my website that come close to that is occasionally, you know, I'll be hanging out at home. We put the little guy down for his nightly his sleep, and you know, I'll get an angle on a really cool story, or something really interesting, an article someone sends me, or maybe some research about a particular data point about New Jersey policy. And I'll quickly kind of and surreptitiously take out my laptop and start working on a post or sending an email. And she'll say, really, you got to do that right now? Really? Like, put the damn laptop away. So that's what she'll tell you she complains about. She wants me to sometimes unplug, which I think, you know, for many of us that are very motivated people, that's a challenge we grapple with from time to time. But and certainly I will say this, having a kid has definitely helped me, because you not only love your child, but it makes you love your spouse even more than you. So, you know, as much as you love your work, you know, not seeing them at some point during the day, it's just unthinkable. Like, you have to work it into your schedule. So it's a grounding experience. But yeah, I mean, you know, my wife is the same as I am. I mean, we're strong-willed people. She's not as political as I am, but we have our beliefs, and we firmly believe that we live in a country where the entire point of this American experiment is that you shouldn't have to apologize for who you are. And she respects that about me, and I certainly respect her views even when we disagree. And, you know, it works for us. I can't imagine going through life constantly being afraid, Fernando, of what someone might say or someone might do to you. I hope we don't get to a point like that in this country. Social media might be making it worse, because there's all this negative social pressure. You have to kind of go along to get along, and if you say the wrong thing, you get canceled. But if we get to that to a point where that sentiment is completely ubiquitous, we're really going to be in trouble. We're going to lose something special about who we are.
Matt, beautifully said. Before I let you go, you've been a gentleman to come on the program tonight for about an hour. And again, I know you've had a long day, counselor. Before I let you go, again, I want to thank you for your time, though, Matt. We'll certainly talk off the air. I want to be able to get you on my Real Talk show. Hopefully we'll coordinate calendars and try to get you on. Obviously, I'd love to have you, you know, on the Zoom show with Real Talk, and obviously in the immediate future. But, Matt, I'll give you the last word here. What can we look forward to in terms of Safe Jersey? Is it anything looking to expand? I know obviously you've been doing more Zoom interviews. Obviously this pandemic has made it conducive for that, getting people on, you know, obviously, you know, it's technology, you know, we're able to connect with people and have programs, have interviews, interview legislators or other prominent people. Where do you see Safe Jersey going, let's say, in 2021 in the future? Do you see more of these interviews that you're doing via Zoom, or is it just sort of the straight up publishing that you've been so good at, that you've excelled at for more than a decade?
Well, let me say first off, we definitely have to talk again soon, and I appreciate you inviting me to come and hang out a little bit on Thursday evening. I know we're heading into a long holiday, or for some people a long holiday week, but you really are a thoughtful guy and you're a gentleman. And you, I think, very well prove that it's possible to be passionate without being an ass, which
thank you,
so
Matt.
Many people
thank you,
in 2021 have trouble reconciling those two things. So it's always a pleasure. You know, the video content is funny, and I know you're going to laugh when I say this, and most people wouldn't believe it when someone like you or I put it out there. I actually am always very self-conscious when I do a TV interview, a radio interview. I don't really like the sound of my own voice. I much prefer to write. I like sitting in a quiet room with a whiskey or a cup of coffee or, maybe some music on, and kind of get lost in my ideas and react to something in writing. You know, I see something that pisses me off. I see something that inspires me. I see an issue I want to write about. That's what I enjoy. But with all that being said, you know, some of the folks that give me feedback on Save Jersey, the one deficit everyone has laid out there is, look, you got to do more video content in 2021. That's what people want. They like videos. So we're giving Save Jerseyans what they want. We're doing more videos. Specifically, we're doing a Facebook Live every Wednesday night. And it's interesting stuff. I got to say, we've had some good conversations. We're kind of doing it more Joe Rogan style, very conversational. We've had some very interesting conversations. Like, for example, we had Bridget Kelly last
yes.
week, and it actually got very emotional at one point. The other night we had Dr. Jonathan Lester, who is a Dr. Lester's an energy expert. So we came mm-hmm. on and in a very clear and not pretentious way articulated why green energy is absolute nonsense, at least how it's sold to us by the left. It's really allowed us to kind of take the substantive conversation that we like to have at Save Jersey, but of course a little bit of attitude and humor, and expand it to more people. So I would expect more video content. I'd also expect, obviously, a lot more in-depth coverage and scrutiny of some of the Murphy administration's policies, not just the obvious stuff like the nursing home crisis, but also things like the Energy Master Plan, Phil Murphy's tax increases, the failures of our unemployment system and the Motor Vehicle Commission. We're going to lay into all of it in the weeks and months to come, Fernando. And at the end of the day, if you read Save Jersey and you still think Phil Murphy deserves another 4 years, at that point, I'm going to have to question. I'm not going to question your patriotism, but I'm going to question your sanity, because the case against this guy is so clear and convincing. Even down here in South Jersey, a lot of my Democrat friends, they won't say it out loud. They think the guy's nuts. I think it's possible. I think it's possible history will repeat itself and we'll continue our 40-plus year streak of not giving Democrats a second term here in New Jersey.
Well, Matt, fair enough. And as a guy who I think very highly of, and I'd like to think that, you know, to some extent, I think you and I are probably the superpowers of conservative media in New Jersey. There aren't a lot of us. I think, you know, we probably have that title. I mean, I would argue, I don't think anybody else is really doing what we're doing. You've been doing it for a lot longer.
I consider myself the Irish Fernando Uribe.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
You're the Hispanic Matt Rooney. I'm now the Irish Fernando Uribe.
Well, Matt, that's very kind, and I appreciate that. But, Matt, stay healthy, brother. You know, keep up the great work. I thoroughly enjoy our talks, and certainly I'll talk to you off the air. I very much want to get you on Real Talk via Eisen and Jay, and I think we'll have a great conversation there via Zoom/StreamYard. And, again, folks, if you do not read Save Jersey, please do so. www.savejersey.com. For 10-plus years, Matt Rooney has, you know, been the number one source for conservative news, humor, analysis, and commentaries. You definitely want to check him out. Matt, God bless you. And again, my best to you and your family. Keep up the great work. And we'll talk to you soon here on Politically Direct.
You too, my friend. Happy Passover and happy Easter to everyone.
Happy Easter to you as well, brother. Stay healthy. I'll talk to you soon. All right, folks. 10:20 here on the East Coast. Great episode here with Matt Rooney, again, the publisher and founder of Save Jersey at SaveJersey.com. And folks, listen, you know, this is a guy who's been doing it for 10-plus years, okay? This is a guy who's had a pulse of conservative news here in the state, and he's a guy who has been prominent, he's been featured, and he's a guy who's been an influencer. That's all there is to it, you know? And you can disagree with him. You can read some of his content and say, well, maybe I'm bored with Matt. But you know his heart's in the right place. In terms of what he's trying to do, I think he's trying to just be a commonsensical conservative, which I try to do the same up here in North Jersey. But at the end of the day, folks, it's, you know, critiquing and criticizing bad policy and bad governing is something that should not bring you vitriol. It should not bring you venom. And sometimes, you know, we experience that. And it's good to talk to someone like Matt Rooney here on the program. So, again, a shout out to him and a great job there by the publisher and founder of Save Jersey at SaveJersey.com. Well, folks, that's our show for this week here. Again, you know, if you have any suggestions for topics or guests coming up, please write to the show, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Once again, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Instagram, @politicallydirectnj. Also, hit me up on my own Instagram, @ProfessorFernandoUribe. Also, Twitter, folks, look me up there as also @NoFilterUribe, @NoFilterURIBE. Of course, for all you Facebook subscribers, for those of you that have active accounts and are not suspended like me, I have about 20 days to go on a 30-day suspension. So, you know, I'll be out of Facebook jail before you know it. But for those of you that can, you know, again, go to Politically Direct with Fernando Uribe on Facebook and tell your friends to do the same. And certainly, gentlemen, don't forget to check out Insider NJ and all of the great journalism there. Certainly, it starts with our editor-in-chief, Max Pizarro, a great writer. I don't care for his politics or his views, but and I know he feels the same, but he's a great writer, so I have to give him his due. Also, again, you know, we have other great staff here at Insider NJ, whether it's Jay Lassiter, again, you know, another guy who doesn't like me. I don't like him, and that's okay. I can live with that. It's fine. I don't lose any sleep over it, but he's a great journalist, very thought-provoking columns, and certainly, you know, encourage you to read them, as well as Alan Steinberg, you know, and Alan drives me crazy too. Sometimes, you know, he's a lifelong Republican, but you wouldn't know it when you read his columns. But again, he's a great journalist, and you certainly will enjoy reading his columns. At least they make you think. certainly folks to say the least. And, you know, Alan Sandberg is a regular here on the podcast. You definitely want to tune in for that. And, of course, Fred Snowflack, another friend of the show. Now, he's a guy whose views I really don't disagree with. He's a guy I think who's pretty down the middle. And you read his columns, and he's informative, and he's well-researched. And I definitely enjoy, you know, reading Fred Snowflack's columns for sure. But, folks, I'm proud to be a part of the Insider NJ family. Again, I can't say enough about how grateful I am to the Graham family, specifically Mike Graham and my Insider NJ boss, Pete Onelia, who I drive crazy sometimes. I'm sure I get on his nerves for all the emails he gets, the people complaining about me. But, folks, we've been on the air 3 years, three-plus years, and guess what? Three awards later, I'm doing something right. So, again, shout-out to Insider NJ for their support of the podcast here as we keep going strong in 2021. If you miss any part of tonight's broadcast, folks, don't sweat it. Bottom of the hour, 10:30 Eastern time, you can check out www.insidernj.com/podcast, and you'll see the episode tonight with Matt Rooney, the founder and publisher of Save Jersey, at savejersey.com there at the site. So definitely check it out, as well as other guests I've had in 2021. They've included gubernatorial candidate Jack Chiarelli, as well as immigration attorney and activist Carolina Teresa Curbelo, and many others. You definitely want to tune in for that. And folks, again, remember, check out insidernj.com each and every day. Don't forget to like them on Facebook, and of course, follow them on Twitter as well. Folks, again, I want to thank you so much. I want to wish you all a very happy Easter weekend. Be safe. I think we should be having some decent weather. Again, the start of baseball season today. Not too happy with my Yankees during opening day, but it's a long, long season. So hopefully they'll get their act together here in 2021. So folks, have a wonderful Easter weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Please party responsibly. And always remember, it's real. It's here. It's politically direct. Good night, Camden, New Jersey. All my good people listening down there in Camden County, again in Camden, New Jersey. So, folks, again, enjoy it. And without a doubt, I can't say enough really about how grateful I am to all of you for your support of this podcast here via, once again, www.insidernj.com/podcast. All right, folks, we'll see you next week here on Blog Talk Radio as New Jersey State Senator Brian Stack joins us live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time coming up next Thursday night, April the 8th. You don't want to miss that episode for sure here via, once again, insidernj.com/podcast. So, folks, again, have a great Easter weekend. I'll see you next week here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, let's keep on talking.
love might bring us back together. I feel so good. I feel right. The music sounds better with you. Love might bring us back together.